The Off the Ball Podcast Network. The Paddy Power Half Hour on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Shearer and Owen.
You're very welcome along to the Paddy Power Half Hour, where this week we're looking ahead to the games on this international week and really a crucial set of fixtures, particularly for the Republic of Ireland in their bid to qualify for next year's European Championships. It all starts with the big game in Tbilisi tomorrow against Georgia, where Ireland have struggled in the past, and also where Denmark were held to a scoreless draw in the last round of fixtures last month. We'll also be looking forward to the other crucial game in our group this weekend, that is Denmark and Switzerland, and we'll be looking at the rest of the qualifying games, including England, who could book their place at the European finals as early as tonight. I'm joined today by both Phil Egan and by Endicott.
How you, Will?
Good afternoon to you, gentlemen.
Hey, Will.
Of course, we're taking a look ahead at some of the odds ahead of this weekend as well. And for information on responsible gambling, check out dunlewy.net. And all of Off the Ball's football coverage is with thanks to Paddy Power. Now, I guess the only place really to start is looking ahead to tomorrow, lads. And Phil Egan, what's your thoughts about Tbilisi? We've watched many nervous Irish performances there in the past, but it is a venue where we've gone and got results in the past as well.
I've actually been at the last two games, and it's this massive stadium which is never full. Like, it holds more than 50,000. You usually get about 24, 25,000 there. Tickets work out about €4. I think when I went, the first time I went, it was the one where Aidan McGeady scored the two goals, and it was Martin O'Neill's first competitive game. There was uproar in the build-up to that game because they put the prices up and it was €5 a ticket, which sounds like nothing for us, but it was a serious hike. And that was, you know, a rather fortunate result to pull out an injury time winner. Didn't get away with it the last time. So we've played them 11 times, 10 wins, one draw. Now, I think tomorrow it's the most pivotal day in the group because of the way the fixtures have fallen. The fact that we kick off at 2 o'clock, if we beat Georgia and then we can sit back and watch the Denmark-Switzerland game from Copenhagen, probably cheer on the Swiss. If it's a draw, great, but if you're going to have a winner, we want the Swiss, because that would then set it up that we would only need to draw our last home game against Denmark. It wouldn't even matter what we do in Geneva. That would all be a bonus. But if we were to lose to Switzerland, it wouldn't matter. If Switzerland beat Denmark tomorrow, it would all go down to the last game. But if you were to offer me right now that to qualify in the top two, Ireland just need a home draw against Denmark, I would just take it now.
Well, I know you've been crunching the numbers the last month or so since the Denmark against Georgia game, and realistically, this game is nearly more important for Ireland than what happens in Geneva during the week.
Big time, yeah. This is out of the three games we have left, this is the most winnable game. So put it all into this. Shane Duffy obviously was touch and go. So you'd imagine he's going to play tomorrow, and don't know if he'll play in Geneva. But I'd say Mick McCarthy's just thinking, like the old cliche, take one game at a time. But this is the time that you actually have to go in with that mentality, because just get the win, however we do it. Whether Aaron Connolly starts or not, don't think he will start. Nice option to have, say with 20 minutes to go, if we need a goal. What I find with those games is, as I said, the crowd, you know, there's not much of a crowd there. They don't get into it unless they're given something to cheer. So if it's a scrappy game and there's not much happening, the crowd will kind of lose interest. It's not till they have a few decent attackers where they find space, and if they find space and create a few problems going forward, then the crowd get into it. It starts to become a little bit more hostile, but it's certainly not what it used to be. You think back to 2003 where that was hostile. This isn't a hostile atmosphere, but it's a tricky one. Denmark didn't win there last month, so that should serve as the warning that, you know, 1-0 tends to be the score we beat them by, and if we win 1-0 tomorrow, it'd be a huge result.
Enda, in terms of selection calls, obviously quite a few decisions to be made here. We might start up front and work our way back in terms of the defence. I was listening to Keith Andrews on OTBM this morning. He was saying there's a chance Aaron Connolly could start because he's a guy who can play up front. He's obviously a guy who's in tremendous form at the moment. Given that David McGoldrick isn't here for the first game and he has been the go-to guy in terms of the Irish system under Mick McCarthy, for you, who plays up front tomorrow?
Well, I would go with Aaron Connolly. I don't think Mick McCarthy will go with Aaron Connolly, but I'm a firm believer of going with the player who's in form at the time. And if be that Shawnee Maguire banging in goals in the championship, to the time when Ronan Curtis was scoring 15 goals ahead of someone who has 3 goals. I would always go with the striker who's actually scoring goals. And Aaron Connolly, after one Premier League start, is Ireland's top goal scorer in the Premier League. I think he might be level with Hendrick. After one game. So I think he looks like a tricky player. He looks like a player that can cause issues. And just thinking back to that Georgia game where Aidan McGeady scored that goal, they struggle with players who like to go at them. Like, Ireland aren't very good at keeping the ball, so that we're going to need that piece of individual brilliance to break down this Georgia side, and Aaron Connolly has that for me. I think Seanan McGuire has been unlucky with injuries with Ireland. I still believe that he is he's good enough to start off front for Ireland, but I can imagine it's going to be something along the lines of I would say Scott Hogan will start with Callum Robinson beside him on the left hand side.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking James Collins. I think he's going to throw James Collins in there. I know Scott Hogan scored last week for Stoke, but he was impressed with what James Collins did against Bulgaria and just the language he used around James Collins, where he came on and he put it up to the Bulgarian defenders. You know, he whacked them a few times. Mick likes that. I get what you're saying about we can't hold on to the ball. So my worry is, how do we get the ball to Connolly? Mm-hmm. And he can protect the ball. You give the ball into Aaron Connolly's feet, great. He'll hold on to it. But if there's times we need to clear the lines and the ball is, you know, lumped forward, Aaron Connolly could be just chasing shadows. I think these games, what tends to happen with Georgia is they do start to get a bit ragged towards the last 20 minutes. And that's when I think you bring in Connolly and he'll be that little bit unpredictability for Georgia, who, you know, they probably know exactly how we're going to play. They've played us so many times. But Connolly, you know, the bit of X factor about him, I'm sure they've probably watched him playing last week and they would have seen him score the couple of goals against Spurs. So they know who he is, but they mightn't necessarily know all the little tricks that he has in his locker. So it's you'd imagine it's going to be Collins or...
It's going to be one or the other, I'm sure. Like, Callum Robinson has secured his place in the starting lineup. It's just a question of whether he plays on the wing or whether he plays up front as the second striker. So it's not going to be a game where we're going to get loads of goals. So, like Phil says, it's either put the man up who's going to hold up the ball and try just link up the play well and then bring a player on with a bit of skill in the last quarter, which could work, or it's going to be all guns blazing, go and get the win straight away and then close up shop.
Well, I assume, Phil, that Mick McCarthy plays 4-5-1, 4-3-3 in attack, and you would imagine that it's a striker, whoever that's going to be, whether it's Collins or whether it's Hogan. You'd probably play Robinson on the right. James McLean will probably keep his place on the left despite the back injury last week. And then you're probably looking at a midfield three, I would imagine, Glenn Whelan, Harahan and Hendrick.
Yeah. It's like the team pretty much picks itself then. Obviously, Coleman will play on the right. We presume it's going to be Matt Doherty on the left. Yeah. And John Giles was talking about this last night, and I agree with him. I don't see what the big fuss is. Like, Matt Doherty has played there.
Played 18 months there for Wolves.
He's he's perfectly capable of playing there. And then, obviously, Shane Duffy, we presume, will be fit enough. And then it's going to be John Egan.
Do you think, is it a better idea to go with Shane Duffy in this Georgia game, or better to rest Shane Duffy, make sure he's fully fit for Switzerland? If, like you said, this game's going to be the one that we have to win, and then we have to shut up shop against Switzerland, we're going to be sitting a little bit deeper, and Shane Duffy is better at sitting deeper than trying to push on.
I get that, but I don't think you can look at Tuesday at all. I think you just have to put all your eggs into tomorrow and basically do what you can to win the game. And if Shane Duffy is available, you play him. He scored there in the last game as well. That they're actually not the greatest at the back, and set pieces is definitely something we could exploit, and Shane Duffy is definitely our most dangerous option from set pieces. So I think if Mick McCarthy was asked, you can only play him in one game, I think he'd go with tomorrow, because if we win, as I said, there's a good chance what happens on Tuesday mightn't actually matter in terms of qualification. It could just, depending on what happens, obviously, in the Denmark-Switzerland game, which is after ours, and we'll know on Tuesday exactly the lay of the land. So, no, I think you go with Duffy tomorrow.
What is good to see, though, is I was just looking at some of the photos from training over the week, and the squad look very tight-knit. Every single player, every snap you see.
Yeah, we just saw a picture there of Robbie Keane with Aaron Connolly there.
They're all having a bit of crack. The training looks enjoyable. The players look like they're enjoying each other's company. And that's something that maybe was missing under Martin O'Neill in the last year.
We've all seen the stripper video with Mick McCarthy, right? Where the phone goes off with the stripper sound, and he's actually having quite a bit of fun. But he was with the Irish Defence Forces when it happened. He was giving a speech. I can't imagine Martin O'Neill would have reacted the same way.
No, I don't think so. And it's just Mick's personality, and that's what everyone talks about, is that how good Mick McCarthy makes you feel as a player, how tight he gets the group, and how it's not necessarily like Martin O'Neill would have been more of a siege mentality expert, whereas Mick McCarthy is like that, but it's more of a, it's not us against them, it's just, you know, we have to be a solid as a group.
Do you think it's helped as well into the fact that Mick McCarthy knows it's a case of, I'm not here for a long time, I'm here for a good time?
It absolutely does. Like, he has free rein to do what he wants. His job is to get Ireland to the Euros, and that's, he doesn't care about anything else. All the other outside distractions are not within his brief, so he doesn't care about them. And it's definitely given him a bit of, comfortability within the role. Like, he's not going to mess about with the lineup, and he's not going to answer any questions based on him messing about with the lineup. Mm-hmm. So he's just, this is my job, I'm doing my job, I'm going to get Ireland to the Euros.
Phil, last Monday week there was a lot of concern when the Richard Keogh news broke about how bad his injury was after that night out with the team. Then that was compounded by the fact that Shane Duffy's scan came back and there was the calf injury at Brighton as well after the Carabao Cup match. Yeah. Does it ease the situation slightly that Egan has been in such good form at the start of the season, and now obviously if Duffy is able to play it tomorrow, that's an experienced head beside him. Things feel an awful lot better than they did 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, because we were looking at, until Shane Duffy boarded the plane to Tbilisi, we were thinking it's going to be Kevin Long and John Egan. Now, I'd be a lot more comfortable with Shane Duffy plus one. Mm. That he's got that experience now at international level that, you know, he can talk the other lads through. Now, not that the other lads, like, they have the ability, there's no doubt about it, but they wouldn't have maybe as much experience as Shane Duffy at this level. So I think John Egan, yeah, you're right, he's been excellent for Sheffield United. Now, he's been playing in a three, but he's been very impressive.
I thought he was good in the friendly against Bulgaria as well, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I think to the game against Everton for Sheffield United at Goodison Park, he was brilliant. I thought he was very good against Liverpool at Bramall Lane as well. This guy, that he's playing week in, week out. And one thing Mick has done since he's come in, he's pretty much picked the same 11 where possible. So people say, you know, sometimes you need to freshen it up. But one thing the players know now is when they go out on the pitch tomorrow, they know their roles. And I think back to the 1-1 draw in Tbilisi in the last campaign under Martin O'Neill when we were chasing the game. At times, I think it was Robbie Brady was in central midfield. Maybe even Aidan McGeady was in. I can remember Robbie Brady. I remember actually looking at him turning to somebody else and almost asking him, what am I meant to be doing here? What role am I playing? Whereas Mick will know, and the players will know when they go out tomorrow, exactly what they have to do. And as I said, it will probably be a bit more open in the last 20 minutes, and that's why I just think Connolly is a better option off the bench.
I agree with Phil Ended that obviously no problem putting Matt Doherty in at left back for tomorrow, but is there a concern that the left side might end up becoming a little bit narrow? Because Doherty's natural inclination would be to come back onto his right foot. McLean likes to cut inside as opposed to go down the touchline as well. Enda Stevens seemed a balance for McLean on that side in the first few games. Is there a risk that Ireland might be a bit narrow on the left?
I'm not sure about narrow. I would say they're more at risk of being exposed on the break on the left-hand side, because Matt Doherty is a wing-back who likes to get forward, likes to get on the overlap, and that was probably one of the issues they had when he was playing right wing and Seamus Coleman was playing right back, that Matt Doherty was constantly going into the space that Seamus Coleman wanted to be. The issue with McLean is McLean, and you've seen it again in the game against Switzerland, he wasn't tracking back, and that left Enda Stevens, who's a normal left back, regular left back, used to play in that position. He was exposed and he looked pretty poor that game. Mm. So that would be my main concern with that, especially if McLean's going forward the same way he did. I would presume that he's going to play a more conservative role and let Matt Doherty do the attacking. I would say the idea of having Matt Doherty at left back is that he's going to be on the overlap and McLean's going to be dropping in like left back instead of playing him left back. So I don't think narrowness will be an issue on that side.
Also, if Matt Doherty, maybe the first couple of attacks he gets, don't have, I don't think he'll have an issue going on the outside and putting across in with his left foot, which obviously then just tells the Georgian defenders that...
Something to think about.
Yeah, well, we saw Aaron Connolly did last week against Spurs where he went on the outside and then for his goal, he cuts in on the inside. So that's something I don't think will bother Matt Doherty. Also, it gives you an option if Matt Doherty is coming forward that he can come in on his right foot and he's got a decent shot on him as well. But if he does come inside as well, the pitch can open and he's capable of spreading play across one over to Seamus Coleman on the other side. So again, they're not going to be used to that. So it can be used as in our favour. And I think with James McLean there, we know the engine that he has, that I don't think it'll be a case of Matt Doherty being exposed at all.
Realistically, Phil, if Ireland are going to score, we're looking at crosses and set pieces, where we've looked definitely the most dangerous in the games in this group so far.
Yeah, well, that's where we beat them at the Aviva, Conor Howard free kick. So something similar, as I said, Shane Duffy scored there the last time. That probably would be our best bet. But for us, it's a case of just make sure we do our work at the back, that we keep them out. And if it's nil all, so be it. But just don't concede to them. And certainly you don't want to be going behind. If we score first, I'd be quite confident that, you know, we could maybe get a second goal. If it's, even if it's one all with 15 minutes to go, we can start pushing on a bit. But the main thing is we don't concede. You've got to be solid there for the first 20 minutes, and then so the crowd tend to lose interest and don't give them anything to cheer about. But as I said, it's all down to this game. I just think win this game tomorrow and I'd be very confident that we qualify.
Well, and most of our results against Georgia have been almost like binary code, a combination of ones and zeros. And that is our Paddy Power special odds for this weekend as well. Ireland to beat Georgia 1-0, it was 9-2, and it's been enhanced to 6-2. If Ireland are going to win, that's a very likely scoreline, isn't it?
I would say so. I was looking back at Georgia's results at home, because there's this just opinion that Georgia are really tough to beat at home, and that really is true.
It's a hard place to go.
They've only lost one game since 2017 at home, and that was against Wales in the World Cup qualifiers, and that was a 1-0 as well. Mm. So they don't concede that many goals, and going through their fixtures as well, they were all 1-0. It didn't matter who they were playing. Switzerland beat them 2-0, but they're all 1-0s, 1-1s, draws all over the place, and it's not going to be much different against Ireland. Look at what the last time we played them, Aidan McGeady's goal was the last minute or 89th minute.
An amazing goal.
An incredible goal. The most Aidan McGeady experience you'll ever see.
He scored both goals that day.
Yeah.
But that was 2014, and then 2017 was obviously the Shane Duffy header, which we scored. Like, we did actually score way too early. It was 3 minutes. But they were the much better team for the most of that game.
Georgia are actually quite a good footballing side. That's the thing. They're really good at retaining the ball, and they did it in Aviva a couple of times. They're going to be similar. Like, Ireland are going to be the team that aren't in control of possession but are going to have the better chances, and you think that it's probably going to be come from a set piece, if not a piece of individual brilliance from a sub.
Phil, is there that hope that maybe Jeff Hendrick's form has picked up a bit at the start of the season as well, just for someone creative, particularly because it's going to probably be a burden on himself and Howarthen to get shots in, given that it's going to be kind of a patched up strike force, given someone's going to be slotting in that's not McGoldrick tomorrow?
Yeah, like, the whole conversation around Jeff Hendrick has been that where is the player that we saw at the Euros? And, you know, he said this before the qualifiers last month, that he said, I've played in too many different positions. So hopefully he's more familiar in the role that Mick McCarthy has him playing in, that he's a bit more comfortable, and, you know, we know he can strike a decent ball. He scored a couple of goals for Burnley this season. The first goal that he scored earlier in the season, which was against, was it Southampton or why am I thinking Brighton actually? Was it away to Brighton he scored?
It was, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that was a great goal. So between him and Howarthen, you'd like to think one of them could come up with the goods this weekend, just to take the pressure off whoever does actually start up front. And I think as well, in terms of Georgia, they do make defensive mistakes. Their attackers are actually quite good. They've got a bit of pace where they can get a bit of, they can get a bit of space and watch out for them for long distance shots as well. Although Randolph, you know, it's rare you see Randolph have a bad game for Ireland, but I'd like to see us create chances because they're not that good at the back, and their goalkeeper, Laurier, I actually, from memory, it was pretty bad mistake for the Duffy goal. He kind of came out to get it, didn't. Duffy got there first and put it in the net. So I'd like to see him put under pressure as well. But as I said, it's just one of those, I don't care how they get a result, just get it. And then we can sit back and try and enjoy Denmark, Switzerland afterwards.
End of Denmark against Switzerland. We've seen these teams play against us. We've probably watched most of their games just in anticipation of Ireland's matches against other teams as well. What's your feeling ahead of that game tomorrow? Because this is a crucial game in our group.
Yeah, they drew in the last game against each other and everyone was celebrating it as if this is a great result for Ireland, when in actual fact that was a terrible result for Ireland because it threw the group up in the air. And if it wasn't for the Denmark draw against Georgia, Ireland wouldn't be in the position they are right now. So you just hope that the Swiss, who are strong at home, can pull off the goods. If Denmark are going to sit back the same way as Ireland sat back against Switzerland, and Switzerland didn't enjoy that at all, so they'll be looking for they'll enjoy a bit more space against Denmark at home. And it's just whether the Danes turn up. Christian Eriksen, you know, he's not in the greatest form. Whether he'll be in more there'll be more willing to play for his country rather than his club is an interesting factor of that game. But you'd have to imagine Switzerland will have too much for Denmark, and that's a great result for Ireland.
Mm. What do you think, Phil?
Well, looking at the way the group is, Denmark now, if they win, then all of a sudden they're in the box seat. So regardless of what happens with us,
they'd have head-to-head over Switzerland then as well.
They still have to play Gibraltar. Yeah. Switzerland and Denmark both still have to play Gibraltar. So if Denmark were to beat Switzerland tomorrow, then they're going to beat Gibraltar. And then they come to Dublin knowing they probably just need a draw.
Good point, yeah.
Whereas we'd have to beat them. But, they're not as... They're quite effective at home. That result where they scored the three goals in the last 6 minutes to get the draw against Switzerland could be the result that ends up getting them qualification. Now, they're in a strong position anyway, but they're probably with the Nations League as well. But I think it seems to me that game is going to be a draw. Now, I don't say that with great confidence, but it's going to be tight. And what we saw, the way the Swiss played against us, their goal was unbelievable. Now they created a lot of chances, so they're certainly capable of getting a win, but Denmark have decent home form, so a draw wouldn't be a bad result. But as I said, if anyone's going to win the game, we want it to be Switzerland.
Yeah, let's avoid a Denmark win. And last night, obviously, the under-21s were playing as well at Tala Stadium in front of a much more packed house in terms of people actually taking their seats last night. And those who went, I think, were rewarded with a very entertaining, albeit 0-0. Probably the big talking point, though, was maybe the officials, who had an absolute mare.
It was absolutely scandalous. And not just from the Irish perspective, but just in the general way they officiated the game. They gave far too many yellow cards in the first half, which kind of made a rod for their own back in the second half, because Troy Parrott, that was never a yellow card. Moise Keane, it was a yellow card, it wasn't a red card, but I'm not sure where the referee is pulling out a yellow card for Troy Parrott, who didn't do anything in that situation. So it was disappointing, and it's really disappointing to see poor officiating at that level, because you see how disappointed Troy Parrott was. He was in tears going down the tunnel when he got sent off. And you have to remember, these are kids. They are fully professional in the clubs that they're playing for, but Troy Parrott's 17. Mm. They're not used to this. That's one of the biggest games of his career internationally so far. And it's just annoying when a referee puts himself as the main talking point ahead of what was a brilliant Irish performance.
Phil, it leaves you excited about Stephen Kenny coming in as well, doesn't it? Because this Ireland team, you know, not only are they committed to playing attacking football, which Stephen said they would, but they're patient when they need to be as well. Yeah. They knock the ball around really well. This is very promising for 2021.
Yeah, it's exactly what we saw with Stephen Kenny in charge of Dundalk, especially the European campaign, the Europa League, when they got to the group stage, playing teams that would be deemed technically superior to us and better teams. But one thing I always liked about the way Stephen Kenny put his teams out was that if they were playing a better team, he didn't let it affect the way he was going to approach the game. He has a certain way that he wants to play, and he's going to stick to it. At times, they might get caught out. They might get caught in a ball in midfield where someone tries to turn out with it, and they take an extra touch and they get picked and they concede a goal. But this is what he's trying to get into these players, that they have to play a certain way. And we hope then this will benefit the senior team in a few years. But I suppose the beauty of it is these lads played in Sweden last month. Aaron Connolly was there and, played well that night. Missed a penalty, but won the penalty himself. They're looking at him going, see, he's already got called up to the senior squad. So that they know that if they don't get called up soon, that once Stephen Kenny goes into the job, in the senior job, that they mightn't have that long to wait. And there's a few players, like when you watch them, there's a few players that puts your mind at ease, like for the future of the team. Where like Adam Ida, for example, I was very impressed with, like pacey, but also
he gets through a lot of work.
Very strong. Yeah. He's very strong.
Yeah, and that's what you want.
Good at holding off the ball. Good at linking the play. Yeah. Exactly what Ireland need at the minute in the senior squad. And you look at about maybe four of those players who are potential senior players already. You know, Adam Ida, Aaron Connolly's already gone up. Michael Obafemi made his senior debut before he made his under-21 debut last night. Jason Malumbi looks like a future Ireland centre midfielder.
He's a lovely pass.
Future Ireland captain by the looks of it. And then you just
Our
go through.
Coventry was impressive again.
It's a really good side. Kevin Kelleher, I was really, really impressed with his distribution last night. In a windy day down Tala, he was still pinging balls 40, 50 yards right to the player's foot. Ireland's best chance, actually, ironically, in a team that plays great football, was Kevin Kelleher playing a beautiful long ball that split the defence right down the middle, and they were just unlucky that they were caught on the Italian defenders caught them. But it was really, really positive for Ireland.
And like the only thing that can maybe stop the development is all these guys are talented footballers. Now the next challenge is, do they get regular football at their clubs, or do they some of them have to take loan moves and to get away? So Adam Ida, we mentioned, he's at Norwich. Norwich have Pukki, who's not going to be dropped. You know, if Norwich are going to stay in the Premier League, they need Pukki to score goals. Now, if he stops scoring goals, which the goals are starting to dry up, then maybe Adam Ida gets a chance. But some of these players that we mentioned, will they get first team football? Aaron Connolly only made his first Premier League start at the weekend. So we don't know how many starts he's going to make between now and the end of the season. So that's always the worry with you see these young talented players, even Troy Parrott. He started the League Cup game for Spurs against Colchester. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to get, like, they got knocked out of that competition. So are we having to wait till the FA Cup third round in January for the next time we see Troy Parrott start a game?
And even with Aaron Connolly, I know it was an absolutely brilliant Premier League debut to start. There's no guarantee that he's going to maintain that position all year. Like it's a different story coming into a Premier League side. You can break through, but then you can just as easily fall out of the pecking order. Look at Conor Masterson at Liverpool, was on the bench for a Champions League game, and now he's no longer at the club. They just need to maintain this level.
Yeah, he's a prime example. Like he's gone to QPR. Now he's not actually getting much game time at QPR either. Mm. He played well last night, but then, like, Leo Connor has left Manchester United. He's gone to Celtic. I was impressed with him as well. So they have to be getting first team football. Obviously, the higher the level, the better for us. Regardless, like, if they do end up going to the Championship, that won't bother Stephen Kenny when he's the senior manager. Once they play the way he wants them to play, you know, he won't worry. Like, look what happened yesterday. Scales came in at left back. And, guy playing for UCD, you know, tough enough first half for him, but settled into it. I thought he was excellent in the second half. So Stephen Kenny has no problem calling players in if he thinks they're good enough. But, you know, we want players that are playing regular football.
Yeah, Ireland under 21 still in a very good position, unbeaten so far in their first four games, winning the first three, and then that scoreless draw against Italy as well. Lads, a few kind of quick hits and hot takes needed before we finish up in terms of what odds Paddy. The first one is very much associated with Ireland against Georgia as well. For the game between Georgia and Ireland to be the lowest scoring game of this international break is 9-2, lads.
Pretty good odds.
Will we get a scoreless draw somewhere else?
Possibly, yeah.
That's the only one.
Yeah, well, it could be our game.
Could be.
It could be, but I have a feeling there will be at least one goal in our game. But so I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it'd be going for that. You do see some crazy results in, like, it depends the way the fixtures fall, but if you get some top-heavy games, maybe it's not the worst bet.
Well, Vardy against Rooney has been kind of putting Brexit even on the back burner in terms of the news this week after the revelation that came out from Colleen Rooney. Vardy versus Rooney is one of our special bets from Paddy Power as well. And either Jamie Vardy or Wayne Rooney to score more goals this season. Understandably, Vardy, given he's been given a head start, is 25-1 on.
Yeah.
But Wayne Rooney can get a 10-1 if he's to have a flying second half to the season with Derby.
Well, who even knows if he signed for Derby?
It could well be an Instagram story.
Could well be a fake story made up by Colleen. But no, I would say it's going to be Vardy. He's on top form this year for Leicester. Rooney probably will get a good few goals in the championship if he was still fit, banging in the goals in the MLS. And he probably will get, I'd say, maybe 8 goals.
He'll probably take penalties.
And free kicks and everything else in Derby.
But I just can't wait for the third round draw in the FA Cup. Leicester Derby, nailed on.
Derby at home to Leicester could be fun, all right.
Yeah.
The other bet, Phil, in terms of what odds, Paddy, I think is quite generous odds. 3-1 on that either Rebecca Vardy or Colleen Rooney will be on a celebrity reality TV show. And I know that Rebecca Vardy's already done one. So you'd imagine there's a very strong chance this comes out.
Celebrity Big Brother's coming back next year.
Boom.
Is Rebecca Vardy not pregnant, though?
She is, but that's not going to stop her going into the house.
Ah, yeah, it would do.
Probably bring the child with her.
Nah,
she's heavily pregnant, so it could be she could have the baby by 2020.
Live birth on TV?
Does she want to leave her newborn after a few months? Like, I'm no parenting expert now, but I would imagine...
You're asking the wrong person here.
I think we're on the wrong... we need to get the dadcast lads in here. But I would imagine that's... yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen.
What about Colleen Rooney, Enda? Great chance. She's never been more popular than she was after that Instagram post.
She doesn't need it, though, does she?
No.
None of them need it, but...
I know some of them do.
Do they?
Yeah, some of them...
I mean, this story came from both of them having way too much time on their hands.
And then selling those stories.
Yeah, well, allegedly. Came from Rebecca Vardy's account, not Rebecca Vardy, you know.
A fair point. Lads, thanks a million for joining us on this Friday on the Paddy Power Half Hour. It is International Week. Next Friday, we'll be reviewing all the action and looking back and looking forward even to the return of the Premier League next week as well. Hope you have a good weekend.
The Paddy Power Half Hour on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Jeff and Heskey.
That was an Off the Ball Podcast Network presentation.